On this episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, but The Debrief.
It's personalized. You're
objecting from the stand is wild. Girl, what are you doing?
No
what?
I can't.
What's wrong? What's going on?
I just can't. I'm sorry, I can't do this.
No. If you're not ready, then go ahead and tell me you're not ready.
I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives.
In other words, the car didn't hit him, and he wasn't hit by the car.
I'm not a lawyer, but... Are y'all keeping up? I'm not a lawyer, but...
The Debrief.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of I'm Not a Lawyer, but... My co-host isn't here to say the debrief, so I'm not a lawyer, but the debrief. You're getting me today. My co-host, who is also my husband, if you don't know, is on set filming. So we're going to do a wrap-up episode of the debrief where I kind of go over some of the cases that I've covered this year, some memorable moments from those cases. If you've been along the ride with me on this podcast or just like on my platforms, the I'm Not a Lawyer, but platforms, we've covered a ton of stuff. So these are going to be some memorable moments. Some of them are funny. Some of them are not, because of course we cover some very serious cases. So I hope this is as entertaining to you as it, you know, I hope it to be for me and for you. So let's get into it. We're going to start with, Fonnie Willis. If you are unaware, Fonnie Willis is the district attorney in Fulton County district attorney. She is who brought the indictment against YSL. She's bought the indictment against Trump and the folks for sealing the election. She's done a lot of things. And what happened earlier this year is Ashley Merchant, actually, if you're unaware, Ashley Merchant is an attorney in Atlanta, and she is representing one of the defendants in the Trump RICO case. So Fonnie, of course, bought this indictment, and the attorney, Ashley Merchant, filed a motion to basically have Fonnie Willis and Nathan Wade, who is a special prosecutor, recused from the case. She alleged that they had a relationship and that there was some money exchanges, which she says created a bit of a conflict for her prosecuting this case and for Nathan Wade being the special prosecutor. So there ended up being this hearing, okay? And I'm going to show some clips from it. But if you didn't watch it, you have to go on my platform and try to find the recap. Because that case, that hearing was absolute chaos. It was insane. But here are some moments from that hearing. It is Ashley Merchant asking Fonnie Willis on the stand, asking her some questions. So just watch, child. Let me rewind.
Would they take Mr. Wade to and from wherever you laid your head?
That has never in the history of ever happened, ever, okay?
Your security team has never taken him?
From my house? That's a lie.
I asked another... if they've ever taken him anywhere.
And I'm telling you that that's never happened.
So your security team has never taken
my
Mr. Wade
My security
anywhere.
Team has never taken Mr. Wade from any place where I have lived and brought him here. Never, not once, not ever.
So your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
Look. I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're
objecting from the stand is wild. Girl, what are you doing? Okay, I'll keep going.
Confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
So my question was... You have any problem?
I object to getting any personal records of mine.
We're not dealing with privilege through a witness.
Has he ever visited you at the place you laid your head?
So let's be clear, because you've lied in this. Let me tell you which one you lied in. Right here. I think you lied right here.
No.
This is the truth.
Judge,
it is a lie.
All right, Ms. Willis. Mr. Sainow, thank you. We're going to take 5 minutes. Be back in five.
Did Mr. Wade visit you at a place where you were living between 2019 and 2021?
So you want to start with the lie that he lived with me in in South Fulton in 2019, a home he's never been to. That's one lie you told in your document.
I didn't ask her about that. And I didn't ask about living.
But you put in your, while we're talking about professionalism, she put in three different documents he lived with me.
Full opportunity to respond.
He's never been to South Fulton. In 2019, I lived in South Fulton. He has never been to my residence in 2019, ever, not once.
In 2019, he's never been to your residence, any place.
I lived in my home in South Fulton before I started getting the threats that were here, a house I paid for with my own sweat and tears. I'm no longer able to live there. But in 2019, I did. And in the 2 months of 2019 that I knew Mr. Wade, 3 months, the beginning of October, all of November, and all of December, Mr. Wade never came to my house in South Fulton. Let me help you out. I lived there in 2020. He never came to my house in 2020, let alone live with me, as you put falsely in these documents. Mr. Wade never came to South Fulton, and it is certainly a lie that he lived with me.
2020.
So much time.
Did Mr. Wade ever visit you at a place that you
reside? He has never been to my home in South Fulton. He never visited, lived at, came to, or has seen South Fulton.
You qualified that with your home in South Fulton.
That's where I lived in 2020.
In 2020, did he ever visit you at a place that you resided?
Okay. I don't understand. You're about to give me that. It's interesting that we're here about this money. Mr. Wade is used to women that, as he told me one time, the only thing a woman can do for him is make him a sandwich. We would have brutal arguments about the fact that I am your equal. I don't need anything from a man. A man is not a plan. A man is a companion. And so there was tension always in our relationship, which is why I was give him his money back. I don't need anybody to foot my bills. The only man who's ever foot my bills completely is my daddy.
Is there anything else you would like to add to that?
No.
Sure.
But I'm sure we'll talk about it further.
So let's talk about the California trip.
Now.
Is that when you were moving your daughter out to California? When you all went, or did you have two trips to California?
My daughter doesn't live in California.
Did she ever live in California?
I'm not discussing to you the location of my child.
So how many times did you go with Mr. Wade to California?
Once.
And you all stayed in Napa Valley and he paid for the plane tickets and the hotel?
He paid for the plane tickets and the hotel.
And what did you pay for on that trip?
I gave him much less cash that time, probably $400 or $500, and then I paid for a bunch of stuff. I think we did two different wine tours that you do, which are pretty expensive. I think I bought him. He likes wine. I don't really like wine, to be honest with you. I like Grey Goose.
I had to include that last clip because her saying he likes wine and I like Grey Goose was enough for me. Okay? Miss Vonnie Willis. Oh, Miss Vonnie. That, she was a time. That hearing, I'm trying to tell y'all, if you have not watched that, that is comical. The way, from the moment she came into the courtroom until she was excused from that stand, the whole thing was insane. It was like, it seemed like it was the YSL trial. That's how it felt. It felt like Woody was on the stand or Tick was on the stand, one of them. That's how it felt. So anyway, y'all have to watch that one. Let's move on to another case that we followed, which recently wrapped up. That was the case of Susan Lorenz, who was charged and convicted subsequently for killing AJ Owens, who was her neighbor. Susan Lorenz shot AJ through her closed and locked front door. And Susan was just sentenced not too long ago. But one of the things that I think was there were a lot of insane moments from that entire situation. But one of the things I think that had a lot of us tuned in and confused was the interrogation of Susan Lorenz that was made public. When she was in the interrogation room after she had spent hours talking about what happened, and at the end, when the officers tell her that she's going to be arrested, she essentially says no. So here we go. Let's watch that moment. This is going to start from the end of the interrogation where they're basically coming back into the room to tell her she's finna go to jail.
All right, Susan,
All right, we're going to have you go with this deputy here.
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
No what?
I can't.
What's wrong? What's going on?
I just can't. I'm sorry, I can't do this.
No. Well, I mean, we're, unfortunately, we're to that point where that's what's going to happen. Obviously, this isn't a conviction. This is you being charged, and then you're going to have your day in court to present your side of the story. Okay, so you're going to go with this deputy.
No, I'm not.
You're going to be booked in.
No, I'm not.
And fingerprinted.
No.
They're going to take your pictures, and then you will have an arraignment in the morning.
I'm not going to. Sorry.
There's a phone down there.
No,
you'll be able to call whoever you need to call, and right there in booking.
I'm not going.
But Susan, we are going. There's no change in that now. You're under arrest. In fact, we can probably go ahead and put handcuffs on her.
Yeah.
Let's get
Come on,
her.
Susan,
let's get
stand
you
up.
Handcuffed.
No.
Stand up.
No, don't touch me.
Susan.
Stand up, Susan.
No.
Don't.
No.
Listen.
Sorry, I can't.
It can go one of two ways. It can go an easy way or it can go a really hard way.
I'm sorry.
We don't want to go the hard way.
I'm so sorry. I
Susan, put yourself in our position. There's no choice in this. You're going over there.
I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Susan, you understand that from the point of the story that you've given us, that by refusing and resisting, that it's making you look bad, okay?
Sorry,
and I understand your reluctance to want to go.
Good. I just can't do
okay,
this.
Well, they have medical staff over there
that
can
assist
you. As
soon as you get over there, there's a nurse right in the front.
They can, yeah. You give them the prescription medications that you're taking, all that. They will assist you in making sure that you get the care you need.
No,
but
I can't
we're
do
going
this.
Over there, okay? You're going to go over there. And
I just can't do this.
Okay. Well,
come on, Susan, stand up.
If
we don't have time to debate.
I can't do this.
Okay, but do you understand that you're under arrest and you're going to be taken to the jail one way or another, okay?
I don't care.
Susan?
I just can't do this. I'm sorry.
I don't. What you're saying and doing right now is not reasonable.
I know it's not
There's
reasonable,
been
but I just can't do this.
So you say it's you know it's not reasonable, that doesn't make sense to me.
I understand. I just can't do this. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Then this is why we're in this position here, Susan, is because the decisions you make are not reasonable. You make just like what
I'm
we're experiencing
sorry.
Right now.
I'm sorry. I just can't do this. I can't do this.
I've had people sit in this chair that have done things. And they get up, they walk out on their own accord. They've done some really bad things. Okay, you're not the only person, but I need you to...
I just feel horrible. I can't do this.
Okay, well, we're going to go to the jail. There's no changing this. There's no stopping it.
I don't care. Kill me.
We're not going to kill anybody. We're going to take you to the jail. We'd rather you walk on your own. We'd rather you just walk down there. It'd be so much better for everybody if we could just walk down there.
Can you just stand up for me?
No.
So what do you plan on sitting here the rest of the night?
I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to die of a heart attack.
Well, like I said, they have medical staff over there. We want to be able to get you over there.
The quicker we get you over there, the quicker someone over there that's in medical can see you.
No, I just can't.
Susan, this is what's going to happen. We're going to put you in handcuffs, and if we have to forcefully bring you out there, that's what
we're
we have to
do
because
that.
We are obligated
really don't
to take you to the jail now, okay?
Thank you for standing
sorry,
up.
I
understand that.
So put your hands behind your back for me.
Said, kill me. Ma'am, you've done the killing already. Nobody else is trying to kill anybody. You've handled that for us. Stand your ass up. Like, girl, what are you doing? That was infuriating to watch. The idea that you are being arrested for killing someone, and as the police are telling you to get up so you can go to jail, you believe that you can tell them, no, I'm good. I don't feel good. This is too much. I'm going to have a heart attack. Honey, must be nice to believe that you can tell somebody that. That one will forever be insane to me. But as I said, Susan Lorenz was recently found guilty and she was sentenced 25 years to life. So she will be spending a long time in jail, in prison, I should say. Before I go on to the next couple of videos, because we do have more, I want to tell you about HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-proportioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking fun, easy, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. It's the holiday time, but with how busy everything is, I personally am always looking for ways to stress less, and HelloFresh helps make mealtime manageable, saving you from searching recipes for all of that grocery shopping. Just pick your meals and everything you need is delivered right to your doorstep. If you're traveling for the holidays or just too busy to cook at home, you can easily skip a week's delivery if you need to. There really are commitments. I want to say, obviously, I cover trials many days. I'm doing a podcast. I'm trying to go to the courthouse today. And so there is always a ton going on. And I also have a husband and two kids who enjoy having dinner made. So having HelloFresh is one of my easy favorite things to have to make sure that my I'm not a lawyer, but life can happen, but also my family life can keep going as well. They have a meatball recipe that I love and a meatloaf recipe that I love and my kids love and my whole family. They also have a shrimp pasta one that I love. Those are pretty much my faves. But they have so many options. And even if you have some dietary restrictions, they allow you to kind of play around with what meals you want to have and what days you want to have them delivered. It's a whole thing. It's absolutely my favorite. So get 10 free meals at HelloFresh.com/freelawyer. Applied across 7 boxes. New subscribers only. Varies by plan. That's 10 free HelloFresh meals. Just go to HelloFresh.com/freelawyer. I don't have my co-host to say free lawyer after me. So yeah, y'all are working with me today. Like I said, my co-host is on set. So we're going to keep it moving. Let's go to the next case that we covered this year. This one was a really sad one. I feel like I'll probably never forget this case. I started covering it, I think, on my old podcast, which is called Under the Reported. I still have some of those episodes up. But it is the trial of Jalen Brazier, who was charged for killing his cousin, his 17-year-old cousin. Her name was Zion Foster. According to him, she had come over. They were smoking. He says he looked over at her, essentially, and she was not breathing, passed out, not breathing. It's late, very late, and instead of calling the police or calling her family, he decides to put her in his car and take her to a dumpster. Her body was never found. So the whole case all around was so heartbreaking, so sad. He was young. He was like 25. And again, she was 17. So it's a case I've never forgotten. I think about it all the time and check up on kind of where that, you know, if there's been any updates. But one of the things that stood out to me in that case, and it was before I had seen the actual trial and just was reading documents and things, I was trying to believe that there was something that was going to show that he like had a heart and that he didn't really mean to do this, right? And then the trial happened, and when it did, police showed some body cam footage of when they came to Jalen Brazier's home, and they came over there to ask him if he had seen Zion Foster, because she told her mom and her boyfriend that she was going to his house. But when police came, he was so adamant about the fact, she's not over here. She never came over here. And so watching that was so heartbreaking. And then that followed up with the Ring camera footage that showed him arriving to his house, two people getting in, something happening in his car, him driving off. It was just, you know, that physical evidence that you really can't refute. It was so heartbreaking. So anyway, I'm going to show some of that footage, the body cam footage. And then I want to show the sentencing that the judge gave, because he had such strong words when he sentenced him, to the point that he ended up going outside the bounds of the pre kind of sentencing guidelines. He went outside of those in order to sentence him, because he was because of the details of this case. So anyway, let's start with the footage. Let me make sure I'm all the way at the beginning.
How you doing?
What's up?
Mr. Brazier?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, just to say that we did it, you mind if we take a quick run through?
No problem. The boyfriend is the one that contacted everybody. Zion's mom is the one that started with everybody. The boyfriend heard my number in his house. That's directly across the street. They went to the house. It's the whole ass minute stay there. So I'm assuming she hadn't come this way because she hasn't been here before. So, you know, they're not going to ping. We got to with air tags. Right. But he gave us his address, right? But everybody else, he was saying she's our address. And stressing. I'm like, bro, harassing the fuck out of me last night. Like, why the fuck would I be hanging with her to start with? You feel me? Like, you don't see me around. Our family don't really talk. I'm like, you think it's your fucking kid. You feel me? You're gonna see what she left with, who she's leaving with. You didn't even see if she had a fucking coat on. Mm-hmm. But now I'm getting baited. I'm stressed, my needs. Yeah. Like, you guys want me to show you camera sheet? Say I'm on the fourth and show. Oh, yeah.
Bridges, I'm looking at
the Tuesday night.
Okay.
Times where I left, times I started working, we came back, went to the gas. Just basically showing this girl was never in my house.
So everyone's puzzled and confused as to what happened to Zion. And then police are able to access Ring camera footage that shows the night Zion was picked up from her house, including the car that she got in that night.
January 4th, 2022, 22:19 hours and 10 seconds.
So police are able to connect that 2005 white Acura that pulled up to Zion's house back to Jalen.
And do you recall which side of the duplex Mr. Brazier resided at?
The left side, the most left tree.
Okay, now at this point, at 1114...
It's a similar vehicle that picked Zion up from Melrose Street in East Point. Okay. An individual at the front door.
Okay, how many?
Two.
I don't even know if I did the best setup. Let me give a little bit more context. In case you're unfamiliar, maybe you haven't been familiar with that case. Like I said, Jalen Brazier was not only Zion Foster's cousin, but her favorite cousin. And so, again, what happens is he picked her up to go back to his house to hang out. But when she ended up never coming home and, you know, her mom is freaking out, they end up calling him and he says that basically Zion lied. She never came to his house that night. And he in that clip that I was showing, that was kind of going pretty fast, but he was telling police she lies all the time. And I don't know why would I'm a grown adult. Why would I be hanging out with this kid? Like, that's crazy. That never happened. So he really was trying to convince them. He's trying to show them the Ring footage that he had very clearly altered, the footage inside his house. He had altered all of this to take out the parts when she was there. And so when they finally get this other Ring camera footage that shows her being picked up from essentially his car and then his car arriving back at his house, they were able to confront him and show that he was lying. So it was such a heartbreaking case. I definitely recommend that you look that one up if you're unfamiliar, because it will break your heart. But here's a clip from the sentencing.
Unable to accept responsibility. He remains largely unable to accept responsibility for his undisputedly established behavior. When the drafter was asked, drafter of the pre-sentence investigation report was asked whether there was any statement he'd like to have noted in his report, he said, "I didn't murder her, but the jury found me guilty." While I'm not surprised that defendant continues to deny his role in the victim's death, his response reveals that he's incapable of accepting responsibility of the suffering he's caused Zion Foster's family. He's barely acknowledged that he should have called 911. He's not really acknowledged that he should not have put Zion Foster's body in a dumpster. And he's really not acknowledged that he should not have deceived law enforcement. Zion Foster considered defendant her favorite cousin. If defendant only viewed her as a potential source of pleasure, he took advantage of her young age and naivete. This case illustrates that defendant has no concern for anyone other than himself, including his closest family members. All of these facts lead this court to believe that the defendant has a poor chance for rehabilitation. As such, to ensure the protection of the community, a sentence that is longer than contemplated by the sentencing guidelines is warranted and necessary. So for these reasons, the defendant is sentenced to 38 to 90 years with a consecutive sentence of 5 to 10 years on count 2 with credit for 356 days served.
So he was sentenced, it was at the top, was 38 to 90 years. Again, that one was just so heartbreaking. I think I was really, really looking for remorse and some form of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did this. And it just felt consistently that wasn't present. So it was just a heartbreaking one. That is a case that, and even the Susan Lorenz and the AJ Owens, those are cases that sometimes based on the platform, right, I go for some of the splashy or celebrity related cases. But my heart, my true heart is for cases that maybe don't always get a ton of attention, but that deserve attention. One of the cases that I remember, and I don't have a clip for, but was the Hannah Payne case. She was charged and convicted with killing 62-year-old Kenneth Herring. That also happened in Georgia. And that one was so, that one was another wild one. It was so sad. He was, again, 62-year-old black man. His family came and, you know, came and testified and gave words. And just hearing all of that, he was suffering from a medical emergency when he got into a car accident. But Hannah Payne, for some reason, assumed that he got in a car accident and was trying to run, but he was trying to go to the hospital. So she ended up shooting and killing him. And so that, again, was a case that I wasn't seeing a ton of people covering, but I was glad to be able to shine some light on that case. And those, again, are just the cases that I would love to make sure that there's some kind of balance as we go into some of these celebrity cases, but making sure we don't forget some of these cases that don't always have a ton of attention. But that said, a case that got a ton of attention, and I'm sure many of you found me through outside of YSL, would be the Karen Reed trial. We all remember Karen Reed. There was a hearing today, actually. Today is Thursday. There was a hearing today that I haven't watched yet, but I want to because she will be coming back. Round two is coming in 2025, which is still weird to say, but she will be coming back, and I'll be definitely following that case when it's round two. Right now, I know there's motions and hearings and things like that, so I haven't been as tuned in. But when the trial starts, please know we will be doing the whole recap. But if you watch this podcast, you know one of me and Greg's favorite moments from that trial was when Colin got on that stand, and it was comical when they played the videos of him. Okay, so that's what we finna watch, because that was a time.
See a couple. Mr. Albert, you stay right where you are. We're going to see a couple of short videos, and then Mr. Jackson will ask you questions, and then Mr. Lally will ask you questions.
Yo, you're being foolish. I will beat all your asses. I promise you, I will fuck you all up. Pull up, bitch.
Okay, and the next one, please.
Yeah.
You indicated on cross-examination you've never been in a fight.
No.
Indicating that you have no violent tendencies and no violent proclivities. Right?
Nope.
What were you saying on that video?
That I would beat them up.
Did you say you would beat them up, or did you say I will fuck you up?
I said I will F you up.
No, you didn't say I will F you up. What did you actually say?
That I would fuck them up.
You also said something about beating somebody's ass, right?
Correct.
What did that mean?
That I would beat them up.
So when you said, I will fuck you up and I will beat your ass, was that a friendly invitation?
No.
It was a threat, correct?
I don't know if I would call it a threat.
You don't?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think you are sure, sir.
All right, no. So that I'll strike at the Commonwealth standing up.
KO, bang, bang. Explain that to me.
I'm not sure, like, explain what I said.
Is that a threat?
Yeah.
Pull up, bitch, right?
Yeah.
What does pull up mean?
Like, come by?
Yeah, meaning get over here. Right?
Yep.
Because when you do, I'm going to fuck you up, right?
Yeah.
Meaning I'm going to fight you and I'm going to put you down, correct?
Correct.
That was your threat to them.
Correct.
The fact of the matter is, Mr. Albert, you do like to fight, don't you?
Nope.
The fact of the matter is, you showed up at another hearing, at another proceeding, and you showed up with busted knuckles then too, didn't you?
I do not remember.
You were asked questions by the questioner about the condition, the physical condition of your fist, weren't you?
Correct.
They were asking because you had open injuries on your right knuckles yet again, didn't you?
Correct.
You said, nah, I must have been hitting a heavy bag, right?
Yeah.
Boxing again.
Hitting the bag, yeah.
Just working out, right?
Yep.
Didn't have any injuries on your left hand, though, did you?
No.
So only your right hand gets injured over and over and over and over again. Not your left hand.
I'm not sure.
Pull up, bitch. Sorry for anybody who's offended by the vulgar language, but listen, the way Action Jackson said that, oh my goodness, it was such a time. Bang, bang. What is happening? That boy was in the video acting a fool. Just acting a damn fool. And I oh my gosh. Me and Greg watched that and were in that room freaking out because what is happening? What is happening? What are they doing over in Canton? Get the boys. It was insane. They're also, I don't think I clipped it, but my other favorite moment is when the guy was on the stand and Action Jackson had all those questions for him about velocity and the way things work. And that man didn't have no answers. Oh my goodness. Hold on. I want to find it. Hold on. Give me a second. Because I have to, it was so funny. I don't see it immediately, but there also was the moment that, oh, I think I found it. The moment that it was discovered that the Sallyport video was flipped. Oh my goodness. There were just, so, that trial was just insane. It was quite a time. Hold on. I think I may have found the moment because it's just worth the watch. It's just worth the refresher. I think this is my edited version, so it could, I hope it's funny.
Do you hold any degrees in the scientific discipline of mathematics?
I do not.
Physics?
I do not.
Biomechanics?
No.
Engineering?
No.
Kinematics?
No.
The highest degree that you do hold, sir?
I have an associate's degree. Administration of Justice. Yes, it's covered in the basic crash investigation classes.
Okay, so you took a class, in other words, correct?
Multiple classes.
The rate of velocity, what's another word for that?
The rate of velocity?
Right.
I mean, it deals with travel and speed.
Right. The word you're looking for is acceleration. What role does acceleration play in the field of kinematics?
So what role does acceleration play in kinematics?
What's the difference between constrained and unconstrained motion?
Constrained and unconstrained motion?
That's what I asked.
Constrained motion. I can't recollect at the moment.
Can you remember that from your class?
I said the air impact is probably along the roadway after that point. Well, I mean, like before it. I'm trying to make sure you understand what I'm saying.
No, I don't, but... I'll ask another question.
What do you mean by scientific evidence? What do you mean by certain forms of physics?
What you meant by that's what was told to me is the crime scene talked to you.
Yes.
Crime scene say anything else?
I don't know what else you want me to say. Are we talking which cup are we never established which cup we're talking about.
How many cups have we been talking about, Trooper?
You said that cup. One from the scene?
It's found next to John O'Keefe's body in the snow at 34 Fairview. That's the cup. When I say cup, that's the cup. How about calculating the final velocity of the objects after the collision?
What objects?
That would be John O'Keefe's body, sir.
There's different types of momentum formulas.
Well, there's actually one type of momentum formula. Where'd you learn that?
It's in my math class. We use momentum for a vehicle to be in the math, the crash reconstruction classes I have taken.
Got it.
I don't know why he played that man like that. Joe Paul got on that stand and he was a reconstruction expert. Action Jackson said, expert what? Boy, you took classes. Did you learn that in your class? Why did he embarrass him like that? Oh my goodness. If they bring him back for round two, that's stupid. He don't need to come back for round two. That's not a good idea because Action Jackson gonna do the same thing. He is gonna do the same thing. Was it in your class? So you took a class? Oh my goodness, what a time. That trial, part two on the way. We gonna be watching on this podcast. Okay, so y'all make sure y'all tune. We are going to be watching that. I cannot wait for that one. Okay, next is Alec Baldwin. That was a case that I didn't do recaps on my platform for, but we did watch and definitely watched the ending of that trial. And then we had the prosecutor from that case, the special prosecutor who was on that case. We had her on this show. So if you haven't watched that interview, you have to go watch the interview. It's again, it's uploaded. And she really broke down why she resigned essentially in the middle of that case on that last day when she realized what was happening. And getting her insight and her perspective was absolutely amazing. So I'm going to play, it's a bit of a long clip, but it's going to kind of lead up to what ends up happening. So if you're unfamiliar, of course, Alec Baldwin was charged because on the set of his movie, which is called Rust, a woman, Helena Hutchins, was, I think she was a cinematographer. She was killed. There was supposed to be a prop gun. He is, you know, doing this rehearsal. He pulls the trigger, but instead of a fake bullet, a dummy bullet, it's a real bullet. And so it comes out of the gun, obviously, and kills her. It was a really, really sad and unnecessary situation. And so Alec Baldwin gets charged with manslaughter, but through the trial, it gets dismissed with prejudice. And the thing to know about this is, if you're tuned in to kind of the Diddy stuff, and of course, Jay-Z was just named in a lawsuit, Alex Spiro is Jay-Z's attorney for that case. And that is also the attorney who represented Alec Baldwin in this case. So these clips are going to include Alex doing what he does. He was phenomenal in this trial. But just to kind of set you up for these clips, what happens is before the trial happens, a man named Mr. Teske comes to the police station and says, hey, here are some bullets that I believe are connected to the bullet that was used to kill Helena Hutchins. The police and the prosecutor apparently take this evidence, but instead of inventorying the evidence, the bullets with the Rust case, they try to bury it. So they put these bullets that this Good Samaritan has brought in, they put it under a completely separate case. And so as the trial's happening, as the defense attorneys are doing what they do, they never get access to these other bullets that are connected to this case. And so they tried to bury it. And had they got access to it, it could have proven that Alec Baldwin was not responsible, and the case would have been dismissed against him. So again, it became this big, huge thing. And after Alec's team discovers this, they file a motion and they have a hearing. They lay it out in front of the judge, and she gets pissed off learning this information that they have essentially hidden this very vital discovery. She's pissed off. And so she ends up saying she wants the crime scene technician person to come in, and she has questions again about the DA. Her name is Miss Morrissey. So anyway, just pay attention. You'll hear some of the names. Miss Popple, again, is the crime scene technician. There is another one, Detective Hancock. She also worked on the case. And then Miss Morrissey is the DA. So those are just some of the names. But you can kind of watch and hopefully put together kind of what's happening.
If you all want, but I'm going to require that the state, in fact, I'm going to order that the state by 11:30 this morning produce the supplemental report, the file itself, and anything in it, and also the rounds.
May I respond?
I'm
real
not
quick?
Finished.
Okay.
And the rounds that Ms. Popple took from Mr. Teske.
I want the court to understand that last night the defense reached out to Ms. Popple and said, we want you to bring the rounds to court tomorrow. And she got their message, and then they reached out to her again and said, no, never mind. We don't want you to bring the rounds
Thank
to court
you, Ms.
tomorrow.
Thank you, Ms. Morrissey. Thank you, Ms. Morrissey. I don't. Okay, where are they?
They're here. I'll go get her.
All right. Well, actually, I want testimony from Ms. Popple on how she retrieved those.
Sure.
That's when we knew things turned up.
So I don't need the box, tell her. I need Popple.
Yeah. When she said not.
Well, you want me to ask the questions first? I have some questions of this witness.
You can ask first, but as long as I can get So when I asked you yesterday, didn't he turn in ammunition that matched the ammunition that killed Ms. Hutchins? It's true that he did, correct?
And I did not recall at that time.
I understand that that's your position, but that's what in fact happened. Would you agree?
I would not use the word match without there being an additional analysis.
Well, who got to decide whether there would be additional analysis?
That was not myself.
It wasn't the defense, though, right? We didn't know about it.
I don't know what you were aware of.
Okay. Well, you know that we came to have an evidence viewing where we asked to see every single round that could be related to the Rust set, and this was hidden from us. You do know that?
This was not hidden.
This was not hidden?
This was under a case number. It was documented. I was instructed to document it under this case number.
Okay, so in this case, that's under the Rust investigation case number, you would agree with me there's hundreds of things that you inventoried, right?
Yes.
There are hundreds of police reports that all relate to the same case number, right?
Yes.
The one thing that seems to have been put under a different case number is just this one discovery of the actual ammunition that matches the ammunition from the set of Rust.
This was put under a doc information of someone coming in claiming to have rounds that were not utilized in a case.
Okay. And obviously, and I know it's obvious, but I want to make sure it's in the record, we were not ever shown that, correct?
Well, I believe that you guys had a secondary evidentiary meeting with the sheriff's office that was canceled the day before the meeting was supposed to happen. Well, or an evidence showing, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, we were able to come for some showings and not others. The reality is when we came for showings, you never showed us this evidence, correct?
I don't know if I can agree with you there, because even on the first day that I was present at the evidence hearing, we didn't get through all the evidence that they wanted to see that day.
I don't have any more questions.
Let me ask you something. If Ms. Popple said it was not in the evidence viewing, would you disagree with her?
If this ammunition, sorry, I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
If what Troy Teske dropped off was not in the evidence viewing because I can get the testimony, but they had a narrow... If Ms. Popple said it was not part of the evidence viewing, that they did not, that you did not gather it for the evidence viewing, would you disagree with her?
I believe that we were sent a list of what they wanted to see. And then, Your Honor, the first day that we had done an evidence showing, we didn't get through everything.
That's not what I asked you.
I understand, what I'm trying to... Then we had another day.
Pardon me?
We had a second day that was set up to continue.
I asked you if you would disagree that Ms. Popple said that it was not to be, that it was not included in the evidence viewing. Not whether you got to it or whatever, but whether when they said we want evidence viewing, Ms. Popple said it was not part of the evidence viewing.
I don't know if it was or wasn't.
Would you disagree with her is what I'm asking.
I really don't know how to answer
right,
that.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
When you say that there were discussions and the decision was made by all of you to put that ammo in a separate file, right? Is that correct? You said that?
Yes, ma'am.
Was Ms. Morrissey part of that discussion?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let me give the court an offer of proof, and if Mr. Spiro wants me to, I'll testify under oath.
You are going to testify.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm happy to.
Santa Fe County Sheriff's Officer.
Let me just give context before. What happens is there was an evidence viewing, meaning the defense comes to the DA's office to review the evidence that is connected to this case. What the judge was asking is, when that happened, did you guys include these bullets that came from Mr. Teske or not? And the answer to that question is no. They were trying to dance around it, but the answer is no. And so where she just ended is she said, when the decision was made to not include those bullets that Mr. Teske dropped off, was Ms. Morrissey, the DA, involved in that discussion? And the answer she gave was yes, meaning the DA was a part of this cover up. And that's when the judge said, oh, you finna testify, DA. You finna get on the stand, too. So it ended up getting really, really bad. But here is the judge basically doing the dismissal.
Made the decision, and apparently also with the prosecutor, as pursuant to Hancock's testimony, that the evidence was of no evidentiary value and failed to connect the evidence to the instant case. The case agent, as well as pursuant to Hancock's testimony, Ms. Morrissey, was aware of the new evidence and yet did not make an effort to disclose it to defense. The state's willful withholding of this information was intentional and deliberate. If this conduct does not rise to the level of bad faith, it certainly comes so near to bad faith as to show signs of scorching. The court concludes that this conduct is highly prejudicial to the defendant. The jury has been sworn, jeopardy has attached, and this disclosure during the course of trial is so late that it undermines the defendant's preparation for trial. There is no way for the court to right this wrong. The sanction of dismissal is the only warranted remedy. The jury has been sworn, jeopardy has attached, and a mistrial would not be based upon manifest necessity. Further, the sanction of dismissal is warranted in this case. The state has repeatedly made representations to defense and to the court that they were compliant with all their discovery obligations. Despite their repeated representations, they have continued to fail to disclose critical evidence to the defendant. Brady and Harper are satisfied. Dismissal with prejudice is warranted. The state's discovery violation has injected a needless, incurable delay into the instant jury trial. Dismissal with prejudice is warranted to ensure the integrity of the judicial system and the efficient administration of justice. Your motion to dismiss with prejudice is granted.
That was such a moment. I still get chills. It was such a moment. Like, it was shocking. Dismissal with prejudice is so rare. So rare for Kate, for something like that. Oh my goodness. So the fact that that happened and everything that led up to that whole day was insane. It was so insane. If you have not watched, that's another one that you've got to watch. That, even if you just watch that final day, everything about it was such a buildup. And again, it is something unheard, like that just, that does not happen very often at all. And Alex, again, that was Alex in that clip. So that is who is representing Jay. So we'll see. I mean, if this one goes to trial, it'll be federal, so we won't have any cameras. But that's who will be representing him. And he's done this for a long time. But a lot of people say that about Tony Busby as well. I'm not obviously as familiar with his cases. But if I find one, I'll be watching because I want to see how he gets down too. So anyway, that's the Alec Baldwin. And now we have arrived at the final one I want to talk about. This is, I don't even actually remember if it was this year. It could have been last year, low-key, but it's just worth highlighting because there was a recent update to this one. So this was the case of Franklin Ty Tucker. They called him Ty. It was a situation that happened in Florida from November of 2017. And basically, the state was alleging that Franklin Ty Tucker and another man entered into this home. They call it the treehouse murder because the home was a bit of a treehouse, essentially. It wasn't like house in the way that you think of house. But they went in there to rob these people. And in the process of that, they ended up stabbing one of the men that was in the house, and he ends up dying. So it turns into this murder trial. Franklin Ty Tucker was charged with robbery with a deadly weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, robbery while masked, and tampering with evidence. So those were the things he was charged with. And Ty Tucker represented himself. He was a pro se defendant. And he was a time. Ty Tucker was late every day to court, first of all. And the judge was over it. That man was showing up late every single, and he had excuse. Sir, the traffic is so bad. I don't know what happened. It's the traffic. And then he would get there. He didn't know the process. He would be trying to object. He didn't know what he objected to. He was trying to have somebody in jail transported over to be a witness for him, but he didn't put in the paperwork. And he's like, I don't know how to get, can't we just have the sheriff bring him over? And the judge is like, no. It was such an interesting situation, but he is a person. He was like the first person that I was able to interview from like this newfound, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if it was him or if it was Bryson Boone Paul, but for sure the first defendant in person defending themselves that I was able to interview. So we end up having a great conversation. It was after there was a hung jury in his case, and so there was supposed to be a second trial. But what happened during that case is a man named Roger Rugged comes to the stand to testify. And Roger was there the night of the murder. He's there the night of the robbery. It turns into a murder, obviously, but he was there. And before I play this clip, a little bit of context is Roger talked about the fact that he had a very extensive history with drug and alcohol use and abuse. So keep that in mind as you listen to this clip. But this is Roger Ruggett from the Ty Tucker case talking about the night that the robbery happened. Just get ready. Let me rewind.
Oh, two guys came up the steps, looked around the corner. They were wearing a skull mask. And they came up, and I stood up, and I go, what the hell's this? One of them nailed me, knocked me right back into the chair. Person took a knife and put it to my throat, or he put it right here in front of my face, and gave me the motion like this. You know, I don't want to hear that damn thing out of you, you know?
At some point, do you remember seeing Paula during this struggle?
Oh, yeah, she was sitting right there, getting beat up, too.
Any description as far as the size of these men?
So I could tell by their swagger who the one was. So I knew swagger. Get that word right, swagger.
Uh-huh. Okay.
His style, his walk, his talk.
His swagger! He was trying to say his swagger! Everything about Mr. Rogers' testimony was cracking me, and she was there getting beat up too. I said, wait, what? Sir, what are you saying? Oh my goodness. Mr. Roger was a time. They also had Paula, who was there that night. She testified, but she was not in a state in which she really could. She was in the hospital, very sick. That trial was insane. But the update to that case is that Ty recently got a plea deal. So the case ended hung. And so there was supposed to be a retrial, but there is no retrial now because he recently pled no contest to the charge of robbery with a deadly weapon. And all of those additional charges were dropped. It was so they're not going to prosecute them. And so he basically was able to defend himself out of these major charges, and he was given time served for the single robbery with a deadly weapon. And so he is now a free man. He is out. He got himself, his own self, out of jail. Yeah, which is insane. I reached out to him to see if he would join us, but apparently his email inbox is full. I'm sure everybody's contacting him. They want him to be a lawyer too. So, yeah, that is what happened to that case. You know, the thing that looking at all of these cases and all the ones we will continue to watch is that I don't know if it gives me faith or if it lessens my faith in the justice system. I mean, when you think about the prosecutors who have had such misconduct, when you look at the witnesses as well, like when you think about credible witnesses, what makes a credible witness, and you have someone like Mr. Roger, who is honest and like, yo, I got a problem with drugs and alcohol. And she was getting beat up too. Like, those things are, it's funny to like a layperson, but if you're a jury, how do you weigh that kind of stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like, does that add value? If these are the state's witnesses, how do you look at that kind of stuff? And then you think about the defendants who have to spend their own money to defend themselves, or you're Ty Tucker defending your own self, you know, like the imbalance that it is. But also, as a citizen, I want to live in a community that is safe, right? And so that is protected. And so I think going over all of these cases, looking into all of this stuff, even, you know, that was a lot of that of what I just said has to do with criminal. But even when you think about civil cases, right? Civil cases, the first person the first story you're going to get is from the plaintiff, is from the person alleging what happened to them. And so that can feel very one-sided. And so for whatever case I follow, whatever case you follow or look into or hear about first, the only thing I would say is remember that until you are in the actual trial, when it's all documents, those are one-sided by nature. They are one version of events until the other person gives their version. The only time you get to see kind of back-to-back is when you are in trial and there is cross-examination, okay? You have direct and then you have cross. And things look very different under questioning of the opposite side. And so just keep that in mind. I try to keep that in mind as I'm presenting information. I recognize that, but I also want to tell that version of events. I want to tell that story. And then when there's something to counter it, I'll tell that story too. So just keep that in mind. But also, again, thank you for being on this journey with me, with us, even though my co-host is gone. But thanks for watching, tuning in, checking out all of my TikToks and Twitters and YouTubes and all of those things. What do I have to say? I think that's about it. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to leave here now and attempt to go see Dirk. Dirk has the hearing. It's a federal case, so I'm going to attempt. I'm going to do more of these. Hopefully, we'll see attending some of these things in person. I think it offers a different perspective. When I was able to go to YSL and see that in person, it definitely was just a perspective you don't get off of streaming. And so I just also want to be able to have that under my belt. So when people try to play me to say that I'm just a streamer, I can say I've done more. I've shown up to the courthouse. And I really do respect all of this. I always want to be respectful of defendants and victims, especially victims, but I always want to present any information in a way that is respectful to everybody. I just want to give y'all the information. So all of that to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Make sure you follow me, I'm Not a Lawyer But, on all the platforms. That's YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. Follow my co-host who's not here, which is Goolzby. I can't say it like him, but G-O-O-L-Z-B-Y. And we will see y'all in the new year, child. There's a lot happening, a lot going on. We will see y'all in the new year. Thank you. Have a very happy holiday. Have a very happy new year with success and safety and all of the above. All right, I'm out. We gonna hit the gavel one good time to end the year.